It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
One way to boost those sagging oil prices is to turn down the spigot. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Who doesn't like a deal at the gas pump? Well, oil producers. And in the face of a bear market for crude oil, the Saudi oil minister told a conference today in Abu Dhabi that he would do whatever it takes to get prices up. And this is a clear signal that a cut in production is on the way. Crude is up 0.8% in New York to about $60.65 a barrel. On Mondays, we check in with economist Julia Coronado at Macro Policy Perspectives.
Saudi oil ministers are disturbed by the plunge in oil prices we've seen over the last month. They're not as in control as they used to be. What we've seen this year is record U.S. supply that's led oil prices down, and that's a boon for U.S. consumers.
Boon for U.S. consumers. It also keeps the lid on inflation, which the Federal Reserve watches very carefully when deciding whether it should tinker with interest rates. And we'll have a reading on the Consumer Price Index this week.
That's right. One of the main data readings this week is the October Consumer Price Index. Market participants are watching very carefully for evidence of tariffs showing through to higher consumer prices, evidence that higher wages might be pushing up consumer inflation. So particularly for the bond market, it's very sensitive to signs of higher inflation. So everybody's watching that very carefully.
All right. We'll get that on Wednesday. Julia Coronado at Macro Policy Perspectives. Thank you.
My pleasure.
American Express is at long last getting into China. Too bad people in China don't really use credit cards all that much. Martin Chorzemka is a research fellow at the Peterson Institute for International Economics. He studies this. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
All right. So Amex in China, this didn't happen overnight, did it?
It did not. China promised to open up its markets to Western credit card companies in the mid-2000s, and it's been a long struggle of negotiations between the U.S. and China.
So how did Amex in the end crack it? What was the condition?
Well, one of the key conditions is that it came on with a joint venture partner. So it'll be sharing the profits, the technology, and the business strategy with a local Chinese company. Companies that have tried to go in alone in China have so far not received any opening.
All right. So share the profits. But Amex, in a market that big, this has to be a watershed moment. Do you see it that way?
I don't, because I've been looking at payments in China for quite a few years, but all it would take you is one day seeing how people pay for things in Beijing to know that this is too little too late, because they promised this a long time ago when there was a huge undeveloped market, but that's over now. You know, that old Capital One commercial, what's in your wallet? A Chinese person would answer what's in your wallet with, I have no idea. I haven't used my wallet in months. Chinese people pay for everything with their phones. And it's too little because this announcement only allows them to set up a business in China. It's still going to take them probably about a year before we know whether they actually have permission to operate.
Martin Chorzempa is a research fellow at the Peterson Institute for International Economics. Thank you so much for this.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Zach, and I listen to Marketplace in Arlington, Virginia. I think what I appreciate the most about Marketplace is their ability to take the economic news of the day, issues such as tariffs, rate hikes, and tax reform, cut through the political noise, and clearly and concisely explain not only how these issues affect our country and the rest of the world, but how they impact people like me. I hope you'll consider joining me as a Marketplace investor and donate today at marketplace.org to help make their work possible.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks.
As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
Now to the car, not as transport, but as a last resort place to live. According to the Department of Housing and Urban Development, the number of people ages 62 and older who are homeless and living in shelters has increased from about 3% of the population to 5% in a recent 10-year period. Now, in Central Florida alone, seniors make up about 10% of the homeless population. As Danielle Pryor reports from the Marketplace Hub at WMFE in Orlando, many are living out of their cars.
Robert J. Burke knows a thing or two about cars.
Oh, look at that Roadster. That's a nice one. That thing will go move. Faster than your car. Faster than mine, too.
The 76-year-old says he lived out of several cars over the past decade. Right now, it's a friend's truck parked in their yard in the suburb of Kissimmee. He covers the windows with blankets and sleeps stretched out over the seats. At his age, it's gotten harder on his back and hips. He'd like his own place, but he says he can't afford it on the $800 a month he gets from Social Security.
I ain't got the money. I only make so much money, and then I got to pay for a car, I got to pay for insurance. By the time I get through paying for everything, I got hardly anything left.
A few years ago, Burke was living out of the car he now uses for transportation. He parked it in the driveway of United Global Outreach, a nonprofit that helps homeless people in the area. Tim McKinney is the director. There's no official count, but McKinney estimates around 100 seniors are living out of their cars in the neighborhood because they can't afford rent.
Our region has a well-documented problem with access to quality, affordable housing.
Analyst Dale Brill with think tank Orlando Economic Partnership studies trends in the local housing market. He says people need to make at least $36,000 a year to afford even a one-bedroom apartment in Central Florida.
To put that in some kind of context for folks that are working, that's an hourly wage of about $17.65 an hour.
The Central Florida Commission on Homelessness estimates there are more than 3,600 affordable units in Orlando for extremely low-income renters. The average waiting time for one of these units is 5 years. That means Burke, who's on the wait list, could be 81 years old before he can permanently move off the streets. In Orlando, I'm Danielle Pryor for Marketplace.
And union workers at United Parcel Service have ratified a contract, meaning UPS will start picking up heavy freight again. More than two-thirds of Teamsters voted yes on a five-year deal covering nearly 12,000 workers. UPS had stopped picking up the really big stuff to keep it from getting stuck at warehouses. If a strike had occurred, wages and pensions were key, and the company agreed to limit the subcontracting of some work, which was a sticking point. Last month, UPS workers who do the regular packages ratified their separate tentative deal. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.